Welcome to Grain Talk, a Grain Journal podcast in which we give voice to the issues and events affecting lives and livelihoods in the grain and feed industry. Have an idea for a podcast? Email Grain Journal digital media specialist John Reedy at john@grainnet.com or call 1-800-728-7511. As always, keep up with the latest news at grainnet.com. That's grainnet.com. And be sure to get the latest Grain Talk podcast at podomatic.com, podomatic.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thank you for listening.
Hello again. My name is John Reedy. I'm digital media specialist for Grain Journal Magazine in Decatur, Illinois. Welcome to another edition of Grain Talk podcast. In this episode, we'll be speaking with Mike Seifert, President and CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association, which is based in Arlington, Virginia. Mike has been in his current role since March 1st, and his arrival coincides with the 125th anniversary of the association. Founded in 1896, today NGFEA represents more than 1,100 companies with about 7,500 facilities in all sectors of the grain and oilseeds industry, large and small companies, including privately owned and co-ops. Its activities focus on enhancing the growth and economic performance of U.S. agriculture. Welcome and thank you for joining Grain Talk today, Mike.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Well, first, I guess it might be appropriate to wish NGFA a happy birthday. 125 years is an amazing milestone as we think about all the changes in our nation since that founding. You wrote a letter to members marking the anniversary and noting some of the accomplishments and initiatives of NGFA. So first, I would like, could you describe for us a bit the history of NGFA, how it came to be and what issues brought it together?
Sure. So, yes, so NGFA will be 125 years young on November 9th. And I got to say, looks pretty good for that age, I think. Has aged very well, better than I am, that's for sure. But yeah, so NGFA was founded on November 9th, 1896 at the Saratoga Hotel in Chicago. And that first meeting consisted of 38 grain dealers that were brought together. And, you know, really, when you look at the history of NGFA, it says that their focus for coming together was five key reasons. And I'm just going to list those off real quick because I think they might be of interest to folks. One was the need for a uniform system of grain inspection and grading. Two, the need to develop a procedure for settling trade disputes. Three, the need to present a united front to rail carriers to improve rail grain transportation service. The need to develop fair and equitable rules to govern the trading of grain and feedstuffs. And five, the need to elevate the business practices of the grain industry to a higher moral plane. And I think if you look at what the kind of the guiding and basic principles for why NGFA was founded, and you really look at what are some of our focus today or what are some of the principles we still really focus on and that our members tell us hold value, it really is through a lot of those same efforts. NGFA has had its arbitration system in place for 125 years, the same length of time we've been in existence as an association. And to our knowledge, that's the longest functioning private industry-run arbitration system in the country. And many of our members tell us that that arbitration system, access to it, and the trade rules that it and we as an organization have established are as important to them as a lot of the advocacy efforts that we are engaged in. And so that hasn't changed. When you look at the focus on rail and you look at the focus on transportation today and infrastructure and, yes, still rail, but also trucking and barge and waterways, that hasn't changed really in our how we look at it has changed. But the focus on transportation and those efforts and giving the industry a voice, that hasn't changed. There is a new focus on safety. That's really kind of one of our key pillars that we focus on now that maybe wasn't focused on mentioned initially. But when you really look at our founding history, and where we are today, how we do things, what we look like, what we do may change, have changed how it looks, but the focus really hasn't changed in 125 years. And I think that's a big reason why we've been so successful and why we've lasted this long is because NGFA has known what its purpose was from the beginning, and we've stayed true to that for 125 years.
And as you mentioned, as those issues continue to resonate over the decades to this year, NGFA is celebrating with a new tagline it calls Transforming America's Harvest. What does that phrase signify for NGFA and its members about the future of NGFA?
I think what it does for us is that it really focuses on the fact that when you look at the breadth and the depth of the NGFA membership, which you went through kind of some of the key segments that we represent in your introduction, we really do transform America's harvest, our membership. We take it basically from when the producer delivers it from the field all the way through the chain to where it's either exported, it's processed into food or processed into fuel or processed into feed. And so we really do transform that harvest. And that's been really our mission since our founding. But there's also, we think, key areas we can focus on that will continue to allow us to transform America's harvest for another 125 years into the future, and that will also really continue to bring additional developments, additional security and success to the industry. And there are four of those areas that we've identified that we're talking a lot about this year that we really think will help us to celebrate not only this milestone, but to move us forward as we move into the next 125 years.
And you mentioned those areas, four initiatives that you outlined in the letter. Let's take them one at a time. Okay. First, transforming the face of our future.
Absolutely. You know, what this focus is, as I've come on here at NGFA, and I'm just a little bit over 8 months now, couple things. One is immense pride in the industry of being involved in agriculture and being involved in it in the way that so many of our members are. But also looking to the future, a little bit of anxiety in terms of understanding that just like many other industries in America today, where we have labor shortages in some areas, and we have in some instances, an aging workforce that's looking at retirement before too long. And so how do we focus on bringing a young and diverse workforce into the industry today to continue to help moving us forward? And so this emphasis is really to recognize that there are many and diverse talents in the labor force in America today. And we want to make sure that we're bringing those talents and that diversity of backgrounds into the grain and feed industry. And so we're focusing on that, but to help really push forward that effort, the National Grain and Feed Foundation has launched a scholarship program in partnership with Minorities in Agricultural, Natural Resources, and Related Sciences, also called MANRS. And we're working with them to provide three scholarships to three students engaged with the organization, undergraduate or graduate students that have a focus or a desire to learn more about or to become employed as they graduate in the grain feed or processing industry or one of our closely related fields. And so we believe that that's an area where we can really lean in and create a great new partnership to really begin moving the industry and our companies forward in that realm.
And the second initiative kind of goes right to the heart of what agriculture is. It's called Transforming the Health of Our Lands.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a Kansas farm kid, still farm in Kansas, in addition to this position at NGFA. And there's something I learned very early from Grandpa and Dad on the farm, and that was that our land was everything. It was what everything else was based upon. And if you didn't take care of your land, you weren't going to have a successful farming or agriculture operation. And so what we're focusing on here is saying that we at NGFA are 100% committed to agriculture and the health of our lands and conservation and the environment. But we also are wanting to emphasize that we believe the focus and the way to do that is on working lands programs that are going to keep land in production and producing crops. So programs like EQIP, programs like CSP. What we are concerned about, and we've expressed very much to USDA and other policymakers, is that we need to focus on those working land programs and not focus on programs like CRP, which are going to idle land, take large tracts of productive farmland out of production, because when you do that, you harm rural communities here in the U.S., B, you bid up rental rates, which is going to make it more difficult for socially disadvantaged and beginning farmers to get into agriculture and expand their operations. And from an environmental standpoint, if you're taking land out of production here in the U.S., you're encouraging our competitors overseas to expand land and production in many instances. And often they're taking environmentally sensitive land, forest, rainforest, grasslands, and putting them into production, and they're doing it in a less environmentally friendly way also in terms of how they're farming than what we do here in the U.S. And so what we're telling policymakers is we're fully supportive of conservation, but let's do it in the right way.
And this third one, you referenced it a bit earlier with regard to safety and the daily impact it has on workers. You called this one transforming workplace culture.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most important things that we can do, and I think every NGFA member would tell you that one injury in their place of business or among their workers is one too many. Safety's been a cornerstone of NGFA for years. The industry put a tremendous amount of money into research in the late 70s, early 80s. And really led the drive to really improve dust safety and to cut down on explosions and eliminate, for the most part, many of the explosions in our facilities. But we know that there are still many obstacles. It's a business where there can be risk every day. And so making sure that all of our companies, our member companies, have the tools they need to train and let their workers know that safety is that their safety is a top priority each and every day. And so we have a number of programs that we work on to provide training, videos, webinars to our members. And one thing we did this year, I mentioned the grain safety and the facility safety. NGFA put out an update to its firefighting safety manual, which is a guide for operators of grain handling facilities and fire department officials that's free to all of our members. This year, that was the first time I believe that it had been updated since 1987. And so a lot has changed in the industry, and we're really proud to be able to put that tool out to all of our members and all the firefighting departments in communities where our members have facilities to increase the safety of both the workers and our communities.
And finally, of course, food security and the need for new markets for ever-growing yields and production. The last initiative you referenced in your letter was called Transforming Global Markets.
Absolutely. I think everyone knows how important trade is to U.S. agriculture and particularly to NGFA members. A number of our members either the grain they handle initially goes into export, and many of them run export facilities. And so really what we're doing here is focusing on and continuing to grow the efforts that we've had for years of focusing on policy efforts that are designed to create more open and global market environment where we can further enhance food security. And that means being able to make sure we keep markets open here in North America, that we can expand markets globally, and particularly Southeast Asia is an opportunity where our NGFA members believe that there's a lot of opportunity. And clearly, We have a bountiful harvest that we grow here in the United States every year, and our NGFA members want to be sure that that harvest is able to get to where it needs to be to make sure that we don't have any hungry bellies going to bed at night anywhere around the globe.
That's great. Thank you, Mike. And of course, even as these initiatives help drive positive change, challenges remain in the industry. And NGFA has noted a couple of urgent needs, labor and cybersecurity. So how has the labor shortage, exacerbated probably by the pandemic, affected agriculture? And what are some of the policies NGFA is supporting to help relieve some of this pressure?
Certainly. Well, I think, you know, there are challenges to the supply chain throughout the entire supply chain in all industries, and we've certainly heard that. But I think, in particular, there have been challenges in the food chain. And I like to tell folks that NGFA, our membership ranges from companies and organizations that have as few as 5 full-time employees to those that have probably close to 140,000, 150,000 full-time employees. It doesn't matter what size a member I visit with, where they're located, what segment of the industry they're involved in, they're having trouble hiring and keeping employees right now. It was a challenge before the pandemic hit. It's become an even bigger challenge. And, you know, we think that that's several factors. One is workers. And so we're working to make sure that food and ag workers will continue to be considered essential workers in terms of making sure that they are able to stay in the workforce as we continue to deal with the pandemic, but that they're also a priority looking at training issues as part of the infrastructure legislation that's been considered on Capitol Hill. A lot in terms of locks and dams in there that would do much to improve the waterways in the transportation system. But a huge issue we hear from a number of our members is lack of access to qualified truckers, that there's just simply not enough drivers to fill the need to move the amount of product they need. And so part of that legislation is that it includes a pilot project which would allow CDL drivers from 18 to 20 years old to be able to cross state lines. They can't do that now. We think that can potentially add up to 3,000 drivers. We're looking at efforts to try and provide additional leeway and hours of service requirements to agricultural haulers, particularly during the harvest season. And, you know, one of the things too, to address that trucking shortage, when you don't think about it, you may not think about it, really is that infrastructure bill. I think every 15 barge tow that we can send down the Mississippi or one of the other rivers takes the place of 1,050 semi-trailers. And wow. So you really can address some of these labor issues by these infrastructure improvements. And so that's why NGFA and so many of the other agriculture associations have been pushing so hard for this infrastructure bill, is that we really do see the ability to do make some long-term, long overdue improvements to address these labor issues.
And the other challenge that was mentioned, this might have been considered, probably would have been considered science fiction even 30 years ago, let alone 125 years ago, but cybersecurity and ransomware attacks. It's not just the big agribusinesses that are impacted, but also smaller co-ops that have been recent targets. How is NGFA approaching this issue?
Great question. And I'll tell you, you mentioned at the beginning, I've been here at NGFA just over 8 months now. When I first came on board 8 months ago, and I went through the list of priority issues with our members, our board and officer team and staff. I think cybersecurity was on it, but it certainly wasn't at the top. Now it's an issue that's at the top of the discussion every meeting I have with a member, every NGFA meeting that we have. And so we're doing a couple of things there. One is we've now got a cybersecurity spot on our website where as information comes out from industry or particularly FBI, CISA, other federal agencies, we're working to get it up, get it posted there so that our members have access to it. We're working to provide some webinars addressing the issue specifically for NGFA members. We've got one we're working on with some federal agencies. We're hoping we'll be able to get nailed down and present to our members here before too long. And at our Country Elevator Conference, I'll put in a plug for that. That's going to be December 7th through 9th in Chicago. It's our 50th anniversary CEC meeting, and we're going back to the town where we were founded as an association 125 years ago. But one of the panels we're going to have in our general sessions at CEC is going to be a cybersecurity panel where we're going to have experts who deal with these issues on a daily basis that work for some of our member companies talk specifically about how they're addressing it from a private company perspective, a co-op perspective, and also from an insurance company perspective. And so really trying to get that training out there to our members. And the thing I've tried, you know, we're working to emphasize to our members is it is clear food and ag is a sector that is at risk and that's targeted in these attacks. We've seen large multinational companies be hit. We've seen smaller local companies and co-ops. And the message we're giving to our folks is that we're going to give you as many tools as we can to help you understand the risk. And then we encourage you to do everything you can to help us protect the food and ag sector here in the United States.
Well, this is certainly an exciting time across agriculture and for NGFA, and as it has been across its history, it's meeting challenges that maybe weren't there 10, 15, 20, 100 years ago. Is there anything else you would like to add for NGFA members or prospective members going forward?
Yeah, one thing, what I've told our members from the day I came on is that I understand every member that we have of NGFA is a privilege. Nobody has to join NGFA. And first, I thank every one of our members and those who may be looking at membership. And to all I say, my number one priority is to make sure we are adding value to your business and return on your investment in NGFA every day. That's been NGFA's goal for 125 years, and I want to make sure we continue to do that moving into this next 125 years. The other thing I'll say is that I'm just excited to have this opportunity to be a part of this organization, a part of this industry. And, you know, NGFA truly is a member-driven organization. We have 17 standing committees. We currently have two additional task forces, actually three that are up and running. And between those committees, those task forces, and our board of directors, we've got close to 350 industry volunteers that are engaging in helping us develop policies from the ground level up every day of every year as we work to represent NGFA. And when I look at that many people willing to give the amount of time and dedication they do to volunteering to help NGFA and the industry in addition to their day jobs, I'm just really excited because I think the path that we're on for an incredible next 125 years is terrific, and the future is nothing but bright. And I'm just excited to be here and be a part of it.
Well, thank you, Mike. We at Grain Journal and Grain Talk appreciate you taking some time to share some of NGFA's history, goals, and vision for the future as it celebrates 125 years representing the grain and feed industry. Congratulations to you and everyone at NGFA on this great milestone.
Thank you, and thank you to you all for all the support that you've given to NGFA over the years. You've been great partners and great friends, and we look forward to continue to work with you all for many years to come.
Well, thank you. And just one note, if you want to learn more about NGFA or the Country Elevator Conference, you can visit ngfa.org. And thank you to our Grain Talk listeners. Don't forget to get all your latest grain and feed industry news at grainnet.com. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Our FYI Grain E-News is delivered straight to your inbox every Thursday. You can sign up for that at grainnet.com. Until next time, all the best from us at Grain Journal and Grain Talk.